Welcome to Biz Talk, where we talk to entrepreneurs, business owners, and brands who are using TikTok for business. And together, we bring you the top tips, insights, and secrets to skyrocket your TikTok account. So buckle up and get ready to become the next Biz Talker. Here's your host, Kyle Kaplanis.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Biz Talk Show. It is your host, Kyle Kaplanis. I am in the studio today with a dope ass creator. Her name is Hallie Smith. She's got 1.1 million followers, and now she has turned that success into running her own TikTok coaching under Hallie Media. Hallie, welcome to Biz Talk.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Kyle.
Hallie and I were in a Clubhouse room together, which I've had a few guests now from Clubhouse, because that is also another platform that is absolutely crushing it. I honestly feel like there's three platforms you should be on is TikTok, Clubhouse, and LinkedIn. LinkedIn doesn't get enough recognition, but there's tons of business over there for creators as well. Hallie, obviously you didn't grow up to be a TikTok creator. So talk to me about how do you get started to the platform or anything?
For the longest time, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I always knew I wanted to do something creative. Since I was in kindergarten, I said I wanted to be an artist, but I didn't really know what that was that I wanted to do. I went to college for marketing and graphic design. So I was doing freelancing, and I'd always done video for fun when I was traveling, when I was a kid, making little movies and stuff like that. So everything creative was always my thing, but I just didn't know what. But then flash forward to college, I started freelancing, like I said, and I graduated in December 2019, still not really knowing what I wanted to do. And then I was like, you know what? I'm making enough freelancing. I'm not going to corporate America. I'm going to see how this goes. Then the pandemic hit and then I lost my clients and I was like, okay, cool. Now what?
Right.
So then I was like, do I try to get a corporate job? Do I try to continue freelancing? Do I pivot? I'd actually downloaded TikTok in October 2019.
Right.
And I was posting for fun. I had three or four videos go viral pretty randomly when I was in Disney World, and they were all Disney related TikToks.
Okay.
One I think hit like 1.5 million. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on here?
Right.
And when I came back to Ohio, I didn't really have any success. Again, like I said, it was just for fun. So I was like, okay, I guess it was just a one hit wonder. Then during quarantine, I had another one go viral when I was talking about a story where I got robbed.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of those really converted followers too much, but I probably had like 3,000 to 5,000 at that time.
Yep.
So then in April, I decided I was going to start my own business. I decided against trying to get a corporate job. And nice. I just jumped right in, started my business, joined a mastermind group. And at first I was doing content creation for entrepreneurs and small businesses. That was like my target. I got asked to do a collab and I wasn't even really posting on my page. I was just helping a friend out at the time. Then I came up with an idea on my page to play my character Siri that I was helping this person out with in their videos. So I duetted it. The reason I did this is because I saw an opportunity. I saw all these people were coming and commenting on my videos. Like, are you Siri? I'm like,
right.
Wait, I'm not even posting. And all these people are converting and interested. That's how I came up with the idea to duet it and actually take the character onto my page. And it blew up. I got like 30,000 followers overnight. It was insane. I was like, what is going on? What do I do? How do I handle this? I had no idea what to do. So I just stuck with the Siri character for a while. And it just blew my page up. I was getting like 100,000 followers a week at one point, which was insane.
Yeah.
And exciting, but overwhelming at the same time.
No, for sure.
Eventually, I started feeling the Siri character is cool, but I didn't really choose it. I just fell into it.
Yep.
What do I really want to be doing? At that point, I started trying to switch up my content. I had already been incorporating Starbucks in my Siri videos. Then I had the idea to start playing off my name. I had this series where I was playing off my name. The series blew up where it's a playoff of people never spell my name right. People never say my name right. I don't get offended or anything. People always ask me. I think it's funny to make fun of myself for it. That's my most popular series right now. Working on switching up my content a little because I'm at that point again. But that's what got me here. It's been a really fun, exciting, overwhelming, complicated journey, but I've learned a lot really fast. And I really do love what I'm doing.
I'm glad that you bring up that it's overwhelming and things like that, because there's a lot of people out there that crave that. They want that virality, but they don't understand the pressure, even the mental health capacity that comes with it. Even in business, businesses who have success right away, they sometimes can fail because it's too much and they can't even keep up with it, right? So it's like that with your personal brand as well. It takes a lot of mental capacity to understand, how do I do this? How do I continue to service my people really fast? Where if you do it slower, you could ask those questions along the way. You can experiment a little bit more without people being weirded out or not understanding your content. My daughter has 2.1 million followers on the app. And she grew really fast as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
What's her username? I'm going to have to check her out.
Yeah, she's Jade Can Dance. J-A-Y-D-E. Can Dance.
Okay, cool.
I got to see it, especially like a young teen. She's 19 now, but she was 17 when she got on the app. She started growing. And to see that success, she's like, why and what do I do? I'm grateful that I was there to be able to support her. Have you had a lot of support with it along the way?
As I transitioned to feeling more like me at the beginning, like I was saying, I started not feel like myself. And the content just didn't feel like me. I actually have had some mental health struggles throughout it. At a certain point, it felt very lonely.
Yeah.
People are seeing you doing all these things on the internet, so they assume that you have people to talk to all the time. I felt super isolated, super alone. It actually was pretty bad. I started realizing I need to start incorporating this into my life. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I wanted to put more of me into it instead of just this character that didn't feel like me.
Right.
And essentially what I do now with the Starbucks, it's still a character. It's an exaggeration of my personality, if that makes sense. I'm naturally a shy person, but Hallie, it's EE. Oh my gosh. I'm like very hyper. I'm drinking coffee. I'm running around. I'm going in these places. People like that. People that know me are like, okay, yeah, that's Hallie.
Right. And
it resonates more with my life. And a lot of my friends will watch my content, send me stuff now. I'm getting to a lot better place, but I definitely went through a very dark period with it where people see you on camera and you look fine. So they assume you're fine. But so then it's hard to be like, oh, I'm not fine. But it's like, oh, you're doing so well. Why would you complain? I stuck with it because I knew that what I was doing, I loved. I just had to figure it out. I had to start focusing on my mental health as a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And to then step two, be able to pour into the community that I've built and my followers and my fans.
The mental health aspect of social media is not talked about enough from the creator's perspective. People just assume, oh, they're so lucky to have all these followers and they must be doing all these cool things that they love. I'm so jealous. And it's like,
because it looks very flashy. Yeah.
It does. I live with my daughter. She lives in her room. She's depressed. I'm speaking because she talks about it. Yeah. She's even struggled with eating disorders and talking to psychiatrists. And it is isolating. And because when she was making friends, a lot of her friends were fake because they were like, oh my God, you're TikTok famous. We want to be your friend. You know what I mean? Even her sister, who's in high school still, gets people come up and like, is Jade your sister? Let's hang out. It comes with a lot of stuff that people don't talk about. They want this virality. And I wish people would talk about it more so it could be normalized and understand that creators need people to support them as well, just to even check in and say, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Like, how are you actually doing today?
I'm lucky a lot of my followers are very sweet and they will actually ask how I'm doing. And you know, sometimes you don't want to just throw it out there, but I will talk about on my lives, my TikTok lives, where I can really connect with them. Sometimes I'll talk about like, oh, had a rough day. They're very supportive, very nice.
Totally.
But then the other side of that too is that there are people that are going to obviously not like you and post mean stuff and comment mean stuff. It's just a part of the game. That was another big adjustment for me because I've always been a people pleaser, which is not good. I've been getting better at that, but you know.
Yeah, it does come with some hate, and you kind of get used to it in a way where you know how to brush it off, but I know it still affects people at the end of the day. On my own personal account, I even had, when I was at like 1500 followers, I made a video about me being in the talent management space. And the funny thing is, people assume that if you're in a space like that, you need to have a million followers yourself. You know what I mean? If you don't have the followers, you can't be doing what you're doing, because, and I'm like, look, I'm the behind the scenes guy. If I had all those million followers, then I'd need a manager for myself. So this guy made like a whole account just hating on me. I only had like 1500 followers.
God, that's so mean.
They were hilarious. And he made like raps.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just got to laugh about it.
He made full on like a whole rap. I was like, did you put this on Spotify yet? Because I need
my gosh. I mean, that's honestly promoting you.
At the end of the day, any media is good media. If you look at it like that.
And at the end of the day, if you have people, haters, you're doing something right. That's what they say. It's true. The other thing too is you have to look at it as it's a reflection of how they feel about themselves. Okay. Nothing to do with you. If someone's taking the time out of their day to comment something mean, they're clearly not in a good headspace. I know if I'm really happy and I'm in a great mood and I'm on top of the world, why would you even go out of your way to do that? You have to think of it that way too, that it's nothing about you. It's nothing personal.
Yep.
And just have empathy for the people that are putting that out there.
They're just looking for some sort of attention. They're probably really sad and lonely. That is sad for those people. And I hope that they do get some help. And most likely they're really young minded too. It's like Cardi B. She's always thanking her haters before anybody. She's like,
Cardi B. You can be our role model for that.
She's just crazy in that way, but she's always like, I love you haters. But it's true, because they help you loads. Let's talk more about strategy wise. Obviously, you've been to 1.1 million followers, but I like to know, what do you think was not working for you?
Mm-hmm. What was working for me and wasn't working for me was I was going viral, but I wasn't feeling happy. You got to find that balance. And what I've realized is there's a difference between viral content and good content. They can be the same, but there can also be a divide.
Totally.
You could make a beautifully produced video with a great storyline, but it just doesn't hit virally. Just taking that into consideration has helped me a lot, and just consistency and realizing that the algorithm is evolving. Mm-hmm. Like we were saying, I think offline before this, the algorithm is changing every single day.
Yes.
So, I tell this to my clients too. There's no definitive answer to anything. You just have to stay consistent and keep posting through it. A couple of my creator friends that I film with a lot, we have this motto, post through it. Whenever we're having some down views, post through it.
Yes. Love that.
If you just keep posting, you're going to have another viral video.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's hard, and you have to reframe your mindset, especially when you go from every single video going viral to them hanging out in whatever range is proportionate to your following. The mindset that's helped me there is really appreciating the people that are showing up and recognizing the fact that it's not just a number, because for a while it kind of felt like that when it was viral video after viral video after viral video. It's just like, here's all these people and I don't even see them. Now it's humbling to really look in the comments, and you're responding, you're really responding, you're looking, you're recognizing who these people are that are showing up that actually support you and are true fans and are gonna follow you on whatever platform you go to.
Yes, exactly.
That community building aspect is what I tell people. If you're having a downtime in views, just really appreciate that those are people. Even if it's five people, they're your fan, they're supporting you, they're there for you. However many it is, even if it's one, you're still impacting somebody.
I love that. Hallie, you touched on so many things. It's really true. The algorithm is constantly changing and creators are going to see waves. I call them waves. That's how I've seen the whole platform the whole time. You get these highs, then you get these lows. You have to be prepared for them. But I love your strategy on when you're on the low to reconnect with your audience, take that time to comment and really engage back to those that are there. I always tell people this too, just because you have a viral video doesn't really mean anything. Could mean great things, but it might not mean anything. People just might like that piece of content.
Right.
It doesn't really resonate with you as a personal brand or even your business as a whole. Sometimes it's those smaller videos that are really more geared to what you're trying to show Even if it gets smaller views, it's the right key people. At the end of the day, it's almost like that video was more powerful. But we do, we get caught up. We've been like so pushed with these vanity metrics since social media arrived about who has more followers, who has more views.
Right.
But we forget to look at them as real people. And I even shared a video on LinkedIn. I showed what do views actually look like. I broke it down with 50 views. What does that look like in a room full of people? And it's almost, wow, even 50 views, right? If you're in a room right now with 50 people looking at you, talking, you're like, wow.
I saw a TikTok a while ago and it was hilarious. And it was like, yeah, my video might have only gotten 36 views, but if 36 people walked in here right now and wanted to talk to me, I would be overwhelmed.
Yes.
That was so funny.
But it's true. Yeah. Right? My daughter at one point was really hot. No matter what she posted, was getting like 3, 4, 5 million views. But the algorithm changes, right? And I tell her the exact same thing as your strategy. Post through it. Because every time she does, all of a sudden, she'll have another wave and she's like, I'm back. True. And I'm like, you're always there though. It's just the algorithm. It just wasn't the right timing for those people or whatever. Yeah. I always said, you have to be consistent. You have to just show up.
Another way I think of it too is TikTok and the algorithm is a tool. Mm-hmm. And you are the value. You are the talent. And TikTok can't take that away from you or give it to you. Right. You have the talent or you don't. If you're having success, you have the talent. And just because your views are down doesn't mean your talent just disappeared. It's just not resonating with the tool. The algorithm right now, YouTube Shorts, like that algorithm's in overdrive. That's a good tool right now. But eventually it's going to be the same way.
Everything gets saturated. If you are looking for that success like you have and you're prepared for it and you're ready for that success, the key really is being early. And we've seen this even when the YouTube... People used to hate on YouTube. Wow, lame.
Yeah. That's always how it starts.
Exactly. Yeah. TikTok was a joke. People used to. Yeah. My daughter says to this day, I joined it as a joke because when she first joined, literally everyone was making fun of it. That app is lame. And this is coming from Gen Z. You know what I mean? Like teens saying like that app's stupid. And now everyone's wishing they were there when people were calling it stupid. I was even preaching it back then to brands saying like, yo, you better grab your username now and just hold your place.
How long ago was that?
That was at the end of 2018. I started talking about that because TikTok officially merged over in August of 2018. I was preaching to people saying, hey, look, it's time to think about this. That's when people were really calling me crazy. Now they're listening. Yeah, you can still organically grow. Yes, yeah, it's still very new. But that really fresh ground floor, I have a lot of people saying, damn. I'm like, I told you. And then Gary Vee started talking about it. And then people were like, oh. Talking
about it, that's when you know.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I was talking about it first. Like, just because Gary Vee really.
Hey, you beat Gary Vee to the game. There you go.
Yeah, I did. We built our agency before he started talking. And the guy that I'm co-founder with in the agency, he was in the YouTube space in the very beginning as well. So he understood and recognized what is going to work or not. He was like, TikTok is the next one. There's a lot of social media platforms that emerge and fail. Vine is a great example of that. But he really took a look at TikTok and me and him agreed, this is going to be the platform. And we developed our agency early. On his YouTube side, he was representing PewDiePie. He had a lot of success in that way. So we wanted to get in early to establish ourselves so we can be able to take on big creators like Michael Lee and help them establish their business. It's crazy though, but for people listening, do not get discouraged. This does not mean that you missed your opportunity.
I will still preach to you that TikTok is where you should be showing up.
100%.
Credibility, because even... you could still be considered an early adapter right now. Like people are still making Instagram accounts for the first time for their business.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. I was just going to say, like, people are still like downloading courses right now on how to use and grow Instagram. And I'm like, save your money and learn how to use TikTok. There's even people who have still made their very first Facebook page right now for their business. They were the first adopters in the social media game. And there's still people learning about Facebook advertising. So yes, TikTok really is fresh and early. I cannot predict how long this app will be here for. I'm assuming it's going to be a long time. Let's say it does last 10 years. There's going to be people in 10 years that are going to be learning how to use TikToks. You know what I mean? Because we see it with Instagram and Facebook still to this day, even a decade later.
Yeah, I think the thing is that people, and this is what I see in a lot of my clients, and these are the people that I want to reach with my message, is that it's a learning curve and it's intimidating. People are intimidated by it because it's video and it's new to them if they're not already into video. I have a group coaching program that I'm launching in June so that I can reach more people with what I'm teaching in my one-on-one coaching.
Yeah.
Where I help people get over their fear, get on TikTok and learn, keep them consistent, post through it, teaching them all the things we've talked about here.
Yep.
Be successful, be consistent on there, build that following, build that credibility while it's still an opportunity.
Absolutely. I think it'll even be an opportunity to come because the algorithm seems to be way more fun, right? Like, so I think it's still going to be an opportunity. So like in your coaching program, let's say, what would be five key tips that you would talk to a new client about with their TikTok? What would you suggest to them?
The first would be getting your foundation, learn the platform, just dive in, start watching stuff, get sucked into your For You page a few times, see what other people are doing and get on the part of TikTok. I guess this is part two. Get on number one, learn the ins and outs of the platform. Number two, get on to the side of TikTok. You know what I'm talking about when I say that? There's book talk, there's plant talk, there's anything you can really think of talk.
And exactly.
So number two is get into that, see what people are doing, see what's working, see what's not. Number three, find those certain accounts that inspire you and develop your video style or what you're going to go after. And then just freaking start posting. Make your first post. That's what I say. People that are intimidated by it, just post something to get that first one out of the way, over with. You don't have to worry about it. Maybe it's going to go viral. That's the opportunity you have with TikTok, but you don't know. The fifth thing would just be testing and tweaking, testing and tweaking, testing and tweaking.
Yep. Post
consistently. Look at what's working. Look at what's not working. Keep trying new things.
Yes.
And something you can do too, if you have a concept for a video that really has a lot of potential and you post it the first time and it doesn't do well, reframe how you're posting it. Do it to a different trend or do it with the text overlay instead of talking it out. You know what I mean? Like there's so many different ways to play out even one concept.
Yes.
Test and tweak is what I tell people to do.
100%. It's the actual truth too, because I tell people the same thing. If you have content that didn't work and they'll send it to me, Kyle, what did I do wrong? I'm like, honestly, that's great content. This is where they could mess up. If you do not consume enough or understand the nativity of the platform, the culture of the platform, then you can fail because it looks too much like a different platform. It looks too much like a Facebook post. And
I think I heard this on Clubhouse, actually. Someone was like, you have to think of it as an etiquette. Every platform has a different etiquette. It's the same language, but it's a different etiquette.
Exactly. So if your etiquette does not match, it might not work well. I'm like, the story behind this post, fantastic. Just tweak this, maybe use this sound with it. And then they're like, oh my gosh, that did better. Yeah, because it fit natively with the app. You could just scroll and you can see something that just doesn't fit right. And you're like, next. Like, and you just skip it because it just feels awkward, right?
Yeah,
it could be great content, but you don't even want to give it the time of day because it just doesn't vibe with your scrolling flow. If people recognize that right away, then it won't be pushed. It'll flop. You have to figure that out. I had a guest on my show who's grown a following to 200,000 followers just posting his podcast. Only clips. Yeah, it's only clips from his podcast. He does them in person so he can film them a lot better. It looks a lot more natural to the app. And I was like, man, how am I going to do this? So I'm still working on how to incorporate it where it looks more fun. But it's crazy how you do have to figure that out. And because I know that, I understand that I have to figure out how to make that work versus like people who don't will just post it. And I've seen people post like their ads almost like with them not even in it.
Not work on TikTok.
Yeah. And they're not even in it or anything. It's just like some sort of Canva 5-second weird thing. I'm like, no, please take that. Like I'm like, I'm not about deleting. I think, look, if you like the content you created, just keep it up.
I agree.
But on that, I'm like, archive that shit. Like, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes too, I mean, and I did this, is like, as I grew, I went back and inventoried my, and I'm like, what stands as my brand out of these old posts? What fits my brand? And anything that didn't, that was random, or maybe something I was completely just testing out, I would private it. Again, I don't delete. I actually never delete TikToks. Yeah. I only ever private them.
Always private. For one, you don't lose the likes either, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, the likes.
Yeah, you've built those up. You've earned those. So why get rid of them? And I do understand. Sometimes you do have videos that just don't do well. But right now with the new algorithm, before the algorithm switch, you understood right away what was underperformed and just didn't do well. Now you don't know, because TikTok even stated their algorithm has changed, and don't delete your underperforming videos because they can resurface, or they just haven't had the opportunity to be seen at that time. You have to give it time. Right. So now I'm telling people, look, if you love that content, you're like, look, I think this is powerful content. And just because it didn't do well, it just probably hasn't had its opportunity yet. So don't get rid of it.
Another thing you can do too, aside from earlier when I was saying trying to refilm it and reframe it, maybe it's like with a different hook, or maybe, as I said before, a different way you caption it, or you talk instead of captioning, is you just re-edit it. So maybe there's a 3-second pause where maybe people dropped off.
Yes.
Or maybe you cut off a second at the beginning.
Yep.
But if you're reposting, don't post the same exact video. Edit a tiny bit at least.
That's a great point. You can go through your analytics. You can look at your watch time. Let's say the average watch time is 6 seconds. You're like, oh, what happened at 6 seconds? And maybe there's something awkward in there, like that didn't fit with the video. So you're like, oh, mm-hmm. Let me cut that part out. Do you know Law by Mike on the app? The lawyer guy?
Yeah, he's one of the ones that I tell people to look at, because I think he does a really good job of being informative and entertaining at the same time.
Yes, he was a guest on my show.
Cool. No way.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. I asked him a lot of questions. He has a behind the scenes guy that knows a ton. And so I asked him, what's your strategy?
That's what I thought. Yeah. I had that theory in my head.
Yeah, it's not just him. He's basically the face. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that give him like the strategies, but he's fantastic. Yeah. He's learned along the way. The guy that was on with him on my show, they said the same thing. Cut the fat. That's their terminology. Cut the fat. Anything that just doesn't feel right, you have to get rid of it, get to the point. Make it fun. That's where people are going to stay. As soon as something doesn't feel right, that's when people scroll. I do it too. It could be really good in the beginning, and then I didn't even care to get to the end, even though it's 30 seconds of your life.
This is what I tell people too, is when you're scrolling on TikTok, be intentional with it. Think about why you're doing what you're doing, which it's hard because you're on there and you want to just start getting entertained by it. But think about, like, wait a second, why did I just scroll? What made me scroll? Did I get bored? Did I just not like it? Did the hook not catch me? And you can really see how in your own brain works with content, and then translate that into your videos to appeal to people that you're trying to reach.
There's some people out there that don't have any strategic methods and they can still do well, but it's because they're so good at storytelling. If you don't have that good storytelling method yet, you do got to be strategic and figure out what can I cut out. And learning from videos is the best way too. Another thing you could do too, you feel like your content didn't do well, ask some people for some guidance. Don't be afraid to send it to a friend and just say, hey, what do you think? Is there something in here that didn't catch your attention? And if they were like, cut that middle part out. Let's say it's 45 seconds. Yo, trim that whole thing, make it 15 and get to the damn point and see how that works.
That's why a lot of my Dunkin' and Starbucks videos, they take me forever to edit, because I go out and I film it. I have someone film for me vlog style. I have them capture as much as they can. Yep. And then I go in and I take these tiny little snippets that make it like boom, 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 boom. You're engaged the whole time and you're just continually watching. And it's only the most entertaining points of what happened. Whereas, exactly. like, I could make them into probably 10-minute vlogs.
Right.
But I condense it into a minute.
Exactly.
Cutting.
My wife does the same thing because she's built her account to like 160,000 followers now. And she does the exact same thing. Before she wasn't. And now she's just like really trimming them up. And I noticed jump cuts, if you are going to talk, I feel like jump cuts do help too.
I agree.
Just when I'm watching too, I'm like, oh, what happened now? Like, okay.
Unless you literally say everything like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Jump cuts. Yeah, good.
There's some really good accounts that they tell a story, but you can tell they've edited down to make it nice and condensed, get to the point.
Right.
But the jump cuts help keep people's attention. They're like, wait, what? And just watch for the next little snippet, even if it's like a second. You're like, oh, okay. It keeps you a little bit longer. I love to know the biggest opportunities that come to you, not necessarily like deals or anything, but how has success on TikTok opened the doors for you?
Honestly, in so many ways, because getting into the influencer content creator realm is just a whole new game. When I started my business, it was the media company until I pivoted to the coaching. And when you're in the creator space, there's so many different things you can do with it. You can try to get on TV shows. You can try to just strictly do brand deals. You can just create content for people, or you can post and get paid for the posting. I love opportunity. And I would still say I don't know exactly what I want to do. I just love being on camera. The best thing that it's brought me is clarity in what I love to do. All these random fun opportunities have been coming. For example, I had a call with a casting director yesterday for a reality TV show. Who would have ever thought that? I would have never thought that, but the opportunity came my way. And I'm like, oh, cool. I might check that out just to see. Because right? Being on camera is fun. It just really opens the doors to explore, especially if you don't know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of creative freedom.
I love that you say that it's helped you understand what you want to do and learn more about you, which is really cool. I love that you still aren't 100%. Mm-hmm. You're still learning. It's okay to still learn and evolve and adapt and try different things.
Yeah.
And I've talked to people who were on TikTok in the beginning, 2018, and then completely changed their content into something that they never even thought that they would have loved to do. And now they're doing all these crazy things that they would never have imagined just because they were able to allow themselves to adapt and try new things. Even in your business, I had a guy on my show. He has developed a product called The Scruffy. He was on Shark Tank and got denied. It's this cool product. It's a neck shaver. It looks like a horseshoe and it's got razors on it. It looks like something from Saw. That's what gets the attention. That's what drove the attention on TikTok. People are like, what the hell is that? How it evolved is he would have never have thought is because the people looking in and giving him feedback, which that's what I love about TikTok too, is you get so much feedback really fast.
Yeah.
A lot of females were like, can I use this for my legs? And he was like, wait a minute. Let me try. So he had a video of shaving his legs and that video had like 10 million views. And he sold out of his product and now he's creating one that it's called the Scruffy 2.0. It's going to be released and people are raving about it in the comments. I bought one. I can shave my legs in 10 seconds.
That's incredible. You're selling it, honestly.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I was blown away by how his product or business was able to innovate because of the instant feedback that you get on TikTok. And being able to adapt and think outside the box like that. Now he's going to have way more success than he would have ever had if he had not been able to adapt and be innovative and listen to your audience. And on Instagram, it's really hard because you barely get any feedback. Even people who have a lot of followers, their comments are, I feel like, really minimal.
Yeah. So, yeah. And aside from the content creation side, I would have never thought or known that I liked teaching because I was never in a spot where I had the expertise to be teaching somebody. But now that I have this skill and all these strategies and this expertise and this knowledge to share, I've found that I love teaching people. It's so fun. When I'm working with my one-on-one clients, I'm alive. It's so much fun. And I would so much rather do that than be sitting there editing videos, which is what I thought I wanted to do for a while.
See, how cool is that? TikTok has opened a whole new world for me as well. It's completely revolutionized my life in so many different ways. And I'm so grateful for it. It could be for everybody out there too that's listening. it could change your life in such a fun way just by making you be more creative. That's one thing I get from a lot of people. So I wanted to ask you a question that goes along with this. Well, in a way, it might not. One thing I get from people who finally took the dive, they came to me and said, Kyle, you know what? I'm so grateful because I've never felt more creative in my life. Mm-hmm. I never knew that I wanted to be creative, and it's given me the opportunity to be fun and different. The question I have is, what is one misconception about TikTok that is complete bullshit?
That it is going to distract you from your other work and take away all your time. If you let it, that could happen, but it's such an opportunity. If you get a content system going, if anything, the creative outlet part of it, it's going to make you more productive because you're going to be inspired and you're going to have that creative side of you fulfilled and you're going to have fun with it. Nice. It's like a fun hobby, but it's also helping you with your business.
I love that. That's awesome. Nobody's ever mentioned that one. I really love that. And it's really true because still to this day for me, Instagram is so difficult because I'm not really inspired by it. I share some of my videos, but like you said, bringing the etiquette of Instagram, I hate, like personally, figuring out a photo. Yeah, is this going to be aesthetic?
It fits not one type of person, but it has a stigma of a certain type of person. You know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly.
Especially since the fitness industry has taken over, which is fine. But that's what people think of when they think of Instagram or TikTok. There's all the different sides of TikTok.
Yes.
Like there's book talk, there's plant
exactly.
talk, fitness talk, and it's everything.
Yeah. I think that's what some people think of with TikTok. They're like, oh, another social media. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like you said, this is not another social media. This is a place where you're going to meet some incredible people. You're going to have fun with it. It's going to grow your personal brand and business. Are you kidding? That's why it has been so successful. I had Giselle Ugardi on my show. I don't know if you know her. She's amazing.
Yeah, I know her. Yeah, I love Giselle.
She's so cool. She even said that there was a study out that looked at other socials, and they found that TikTok brings happiness where other socials bring depression and social anxieties and all these things, where TikTok has proven that it releases serotonin. Because why? It's mostly fun, and you get to curate your content. So if you do want to see depressing things all day, your For You page could turn like that. But
yeah, that's the thing.
Right? Like it can. If you really want that, then go for it. You can find it. Mine is I like animal videos as well. So there's a mix in there. It's like funny videos of animals, and then you see business stuff that you're like, dang, that's a great idea. That's why it's so fun, and I'd rather be on there than these other places. That's a cool misconception. I thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
And lastly, how I like to close out my show is two questions. Is one, what is found on your For You page?
Honestly, I actually don't scroll my For You page all that often. I get a lot of skits and relatable content. Just like the goofy skit relatable content. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what those type of videos?
Yes.
For a while, I was getting prank videos, but I don't really get those anymore. I do get dog videos too. Yeah. I know my dad gets like hunting videos.
Nice.
To hear what sides of TikTok people are on.
Yeah, that's why I love asking that, because it surprises me. I've had a few people on my show that are a little bit straight-laced, more professional in a way, but they're still fun because they're on TikTok, right? I feel like you still have to have that fun side. When you ask them that question and they give you something hilarious, you're like, wait, what? You didn't think that was going to be part of their personality. Right. So I love learning that.
I just thought of some of the other things. I have been getting a lot of mental health ones, dating ones, or like single person ones. Those are two that I just thought of that I've been getting a lot.
That's hilarious. Are you single?
Yeah.
So you see in all that stuff.
Yeah, apparently it just knows. I don't know.
I think it does. I'm telling you. It knows.
It knows
this before we know. We're like, oh, okay. I guess I need to start learning this.
Right.
My last question is, who are some of your favorite creators on the platform?
One of the funniest people who I literally die laughing every time is Brendan LMAO.
Brendan LMAO, okay.
Have you ever seen his content? I was actually laughing at it last night.
I don't know.
He goes in public and it's all on the spot stuff and he gets people's reactions. It is hilarious. You could compare it to Impractical Jokers, but on TikTok.
I just had to look him up. I have seen him. He is awesome.
Mm-hmm. One of my friends I've met on Clubhouse, Exploring Amanda, I think her username is. She has a lot of motivational content, so I like hearing her motivational content. And then, like I said, Law by Mike, I always see his, and I think it's interesting. I like the video style there. I see a lot of the social media stuff, too. I like Giselle's. I always see Giselle's stuff. Jules. I can't remember her username, but really, really useful social media advice. Mm-hmm. Those are a few. There's a lot of other
ones, I know, too, exactly. This is what's interesting about TikTok is we do have our favorites in our mind, but sometimes we don't even remember their username. We remember their content or their face, weirdly enough.
Exactly.
Like, because you just know those videos. Those are great ones. I have seen Brendan before. He is hilarious. I love to give people inspiration to check out other content creators from these shows to be able to see, because the app is so big. I had Giselle on, which her podcast aired this week. There were three creators that she mentioned that I've never, ever heard of, took a look at their content, and they're amazing. So I got the opportunity to find them through people who inspire me. Everybody on my show has inspired me in a way. So I want to learn what's inspiring them to check it out and find new creators that are fantastic. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, of course.
People that are getting to this point, they obviously want to connect with you. What is the best way to follow you? Where can they find you on social media? And if they wanted to reach out and connect with you with your coaching, how can they do that?
Mm-hmm. The best way right now, I have a business Instagram account. I've been getting a lot of my leads through Clubhouse, which is what I'm primarily using it for. If people go to my business Instagram, Hallie Media, send me a DM or go to my link. You said you're going to provide my link.
Yep.
My link will have everything on it. So if you check out that link, it'll have my personal Instagram, my business Instagram, my TikTok, my YouTube, my Snapchat, my offers right now, my merch. Everything is in that one spot, and it's awesome. I've made it very accessible. I didn't want it to be overwhelming because there is a lot. It's very well organized, and you can reach me through there. You can also shoot me an email if you go to that link too. Definitely reach out. Thank you so much for having me too.
Thank you.
I love this. This was so fun.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no, it's just fun talking about things and learning about new people. I love Clubhouse as well, but these are cool because you get to see a little bit of a face and still have a conversation.
Not just the like static profile.
Yeah. So it's anybody who's listening right now, go follow Hallie. Definitely check her out on TikTok because she's doing killer things. Hallie_Smith. In the description of this podcast, you will find the show notes, which will be directed over there, and you can find all the links to follow Hallie and be able to reach out to her. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time today, and everybody that's listening, have a great day.
Peace out.
Love this episode of Biz Talk? Let us know with a review. Also, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Follow us on TikTok at Biz Talker. Don't just be a TikToker, but become the next Biz Talker.